listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Oh, wait a minute, I lost the lyrics. Oh, okay. How can you grant the woman access to your villa, trespasses, and a witness while you cling to your pillow? You better watch your back before she turn into a killer. Best for you and the situation not to call the beaner. To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, convince her say a day. Never admit to a word when she say, and if she claims and you tell her, baby, no way.
That's right. Shaggy Dog. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are in the house on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones recap Wednesday.
Yep,
them thrones. Some people might know it as that. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. Just search the Black Guy Tips. We also have a guest, as you can probably tell from the voice that you heard when we started the show. It's our girl, Miss Smart, from the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. You can find her on Twitter at @think_P_smart. What's going on, Miss Smart?
Nothing, man. Chilling. I got myself together to be on your show. I've been sick and shut in for the last couple of days, and this was the highlight of my day. This is what I was aiming for. I was like, I'm going to have a voice by 7:30.
We really do appreciate the struggles and the sacrifice. Make it worth it, man. You guys need to, do all the stuff that we tell you to do up front so that we can keep the show going. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Official weapon of the show is
the taser.
Unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is 511 days Bobby Smart has been locked up. Without his bail being lowered. Free Bobby. And we are double sponsored today. We are double sponsored by Bevel. Mm-hmm. That's one of the sponsors. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code FREETVGWT to get your first month free at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. We also have a second sponsor, which is Shadow Dog Productions. We have two albums out by them. Our second album is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and you can find it on iTunes and Amazon. Just search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness or search my name, Rod Amaro. We'll come up. Make sure you guys listen to it, leave us some reviews, let people know that that you like it. We have a lot of friends and stuff from the show on there. Mm-hmm. Nick Jews on there. We have John Fouts on there, Alexa Yeams, like everybody. You name it, they're on there. And we have a lot of fun playing games and reading scripts and crazy voices and stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. All right. So before we even get started on the show, okay, we have some stuff to talk about. Karen, I came into the house after playing basketball today.
Mm-hmm.
I played ball at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I won all my games today, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. I was tired as hell, but we won all them games. So I came in the house and, I was just cooling down, drinking Gatorade before my shower, and Karen was waking up so she could go to work. It was like 7 a.m. and she just came out of the bedroom and she pointed at her phone and she said, "You know who this is?" And I was like, "Oh God, lemonade done finally got me." It's a complete misunderstanding. I didn't even do anything. Like, there's no evidence that I have. So she was like, "You know who this is?" And I was like, I don't know who it is, baby. Let me see the phone. I thought it was going to be some news on there or some shit. I was like, this is not my dick, but, it was, someone had hit her up on Twitter and, sometimes people are friends of the show, but they'll be like more friends with me than Karen, or mm-hmm. we interact more on Twitter or something. So maybe they make a joke towards Karen and, Karen will like come to me and be like, "Who is this person? Cause I'm about to cuss their ass out." And I'll be like, "Oh no, that's, John or whatever." But in this case, I didn't know this person. I forget their name, but I didn't know this person. I don't recall interacting with them at any point. So, Karen was, kind of ticked off. What did they say to you exactly?
Let me find it. I'll go find exactly what they said. And the thing is, like, I had literally just woke up.
What is it about people that when they want to say something crazy to one of us, they do it first thing in the morning. Like, do crazy people not sleep?
No, they don't.
Like, what the fuck, man? Take a nap. You know what I'm saying? Take a, get you 8 hours. Don't wake up on hate, man. Don't wake up on being shady. You know what I mean? Like that was what was crazy to me. I'm like, it's 7 a.m. Karen ain't even took a shower to go to work yet. Why am I having this conversation, crazy person? You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, get some cereal. You know, maybe if you got like a balanced nutritional breakfast, you'll be like, you know what? I'm not going to send that tweet. That was some shady shit to say. But they never do. Did you find it yet?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Change your mind every time your husband / co-host disagree with you. Just once. Can you have your own opinion?
No, it's just a question. All right? Nothing shady about that at all.
It's just all shade.
Right? That's how we talk to people in real life, right? To their face, we expect that person to be like, oh, thank you for saying that. That is such a kind thing to say. Is Hillary Banks fly on Twitter with two Y's? Because why the fuck are you doing this? But yeah, so she woke up and decided to say that to Karen first thing in the morning. And now the thing is, we've had this criticism of the show before. And, you know, my question is always, who hurt you? Like, we married and we don't really argue. We disagree from time to time, but it's never going to be a cause for either of us to, like, argue, to raise our voice and shit like that, because, you know, we respect each other. But also, it's kind of odd because it always comes down to Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always something that you did wrong, the focal point. Like, you need to stand up to him. And so I always ask the same question, what did I do that you need to be stood up to? Like, what is the thing that is triggering this response where you were like, Karen, just back down to Rod on this thing? And I'm always like, so what is it? Because I would like examples. I feel like that's a pretty fucked up thing to say about the show, in my opinion, that one of the hosts is, you know, not standing up for herself or something, especially in this environment. It's not like we're gonna shut Karen, like I'm gonna shut Karen down for, like, everybody has their own opinions and they don't always agree. So my thing is, like, provide examples, and nobody can. So what, you leave us at an impasse here. It's like, what do we do now? But anyway, I feel like I'm talking too much. Karen, were you gonna address it, or?
Yeah, I'm going to address this. I want to apologize to everybody in advance. I'm sorry, you know, Miss Think Pretty Smile. We'll get back to you in a second. I'm going to go ahead and address this because I've been sitting on this all day. Because see, this morning I didn't have the time this morning because I had to get to work, but now I got the time. So since I got the time now to address this, I am going to address this. All right, let's start from this. I don't know you. And also, I interact with a lot of our fans on social media. I am very rational. I'm very reasonable. I don't come at people crazy. I don't do these things. So for me, the first response I get from you is this question. And my thing is, how do you expect somebody to respond to you? Do you expect me to respond in a happy way? Do you expect me to respond in a, oh, girl, that's cool? No, because your question was a loaded question. You are implying a lot of things. And I'm going to address that because, like I said, this is not the first time. And for me, most of the time, I sit back and I see a lot of things happen. And I might not always speak on them, and I might not always say things about it. And a lot of times I poke fun and I joke about a lot of shit, which is fine. But this right here today, for some reason, it ticked my nerves because it is just something about me and something about me being a woman and something about it that makes a lot of people make assumptions about our marriage. You don't know anything about us or our marriage. Yes, you listen to the show. I'm thankful for every fan that listens to this show. I am. I'm thankful for every premium member we have, and I'm thankful for every download we get. But I will tell you this. My husband does not own me. I am not his property. He didn't pay for me. He didn't put no dowry on me. I speak when I want to speak. This motherfucker right here, I own this. my name is on this motherfucker. So I want y'all to know out there, before you come sideways at me, just know that I have my own voice on this show. I speak when I want to speak. I say what I want to say. I have my own opinion, and I can stand on my two goddamn feet on my own. And I don't need my husband to speak on my behalf. I'm going to address you on this.
All right.
No, wait a minute. I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
And also, it's one of those things where it's funny how when my husband responds to people, the response is completely different than when I respond to people. People gloss across me. It's because I have a vagina. It's because I have titties. It's because I'm a black woman. I don't know. But what I will tell you is that just because my husband has a dick does not mean that he owns me. Because I think it's that ownership thing. You know, because it's like, well, your husband slash co-host. Okay, I understand that. But what you need to understand and what you need to get a grip of is that you guys, y'all don't own us. We're not y'all property either. You know, yes, we have premium members. Yes, people give to the show, but you don't own us. You didn't pay for us. And I need people to understand that. Is that we are human beings. Just because we speak on this mic does not strip us from our humanity, and it does not strip us from our opinion, and it does not strip us from clapping back. And I have a major problem with people acting like there's something wrong with people clapping back when somebody comes at you fucking sideways, like you're supposed to take it just because you have a microphone and quote unquote, just because you have a bigger platform. I do have feelings. I hope y'all know that. I do have feelings. I do have emotions. And my thing is that I do not mind people coming and having a rational conversation. She could address this in a different way. She could have been like, well, you know what, Karen, I do realize that, you know, when, you know, you and Roger talk, you can't back down. And I would have had a reasonable conversation with her. I don't mind talking to people. I don't mind interacting with people. I have no problem with that. My problem is that when you come at me sideways and you don't know me like this, dog, you just don't. And my first interaction with you is about my husband and about how my husband does these things to me. Because this is the thing. I feel like people, when they do that, they put whatever feelings that they have and whatever things that they have in their relationship, they magnify them on us. Whatever relationship you have, that's your relationship. However you allow your mate or significant other to treat you, that's y'all. Don't take those and want to magnify them on us and act like I'm supposed to live to your standards. I live to my own standards. I don't live to any of you guys' standards. And as a woman, it's very fucking frustrating that every time it's a criticism, it always is directly towards me. Like, I'm not going to say anything about it. Like, she's just going to take it. Why? Because I'm a woman. Just because Roger goes off don't mean I won't go off either. Don't mean I won't tell you how I feel about shit either. Because see, this is the thing. People think just because we don't go at each other's throat and we don't cuss each other out all the time that we're not arguing. It's a lot of stuff that we disagree with a lot. But we just know how to respect each other. And it's amazing at how many people are in such fucked up relationship that they think if you're not bickering and arguing with each other, you don't love each other. There's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with us and how we function. And I want people to understand that. My husband does not beat me. He does not abuse me. He has never laid his hand on me in a non-sexual way. And so I want people to understand this. You know, I don't want you to just assume that I might back down. And something that me and Roger had talked about earlier today is the fact that a lot of times I'm hearing this story like you guys are hearing it for the very first time. So a lot of times my responses, I'm processing them. Just like you guys, I'm processing it. So from the time we hear it to the end, my opinion may have changed. Roger has read them. He's thought about it. He's processed it. So I might disagree with him. But by the time we get to the end, I'm like, okay, what you say makes sense. It does not mean I'm backing down. It does not mean I don't have my own opinion. It does not mean I don't speak on my own accord, because I do. I want people to understand I do speak on my own accord. I do have my own voice. My husband does not stifle me. My husband has not told me to shut up on this mic. And I will not do it to him. It's a respect thing. And a lot of y'all are in some fucked up relationships and you don't understand what real love is. I mean, I really hate to put it out there like that. And I know people have their own opinions about what love is. But one thing about love is not this thing that wants to put your mate to shame. You know, because my thing is this, sweetie, I don't have no problem with you. I don't, the girl who tweeted it, I don't have a problem with you at all. But what you won't do is come at me sideways the first thing I wake up in the morning and expect it to be all good, dawg. That's the problem I have with. Which, do you want me to go to you and be like, hey, do your significant other allow you to speak? It's insulting. It's insulting to my intelligence. It's just insulting for you to think that I will be okay with you coming at me like that and then not expect me to say anything. I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, because when I said something back to her, you know, it was completely a different tone. And she started copping pleas. Like, I was just asking a question. I was like, you asked a shady question. You know, like, I asked her a question back. Who hurt you? And she's like, well, so I gotta be hurt? I mean, you said Karen backs down every time we disagree. Like, that was your words. You asked a shady question, I asked one back. So, yeah, I do think you hurt. Because that's the only way you can see two people loving each other and come away with that shit. Two people respecting each other and you come away with that shit. I mean, Karen's my show partner, but she's also my wife. And there'll never be a time where she got to check me on the mic because I wouldn't say no stupid shit. Like, y'all ain't really seen her mad. I have.
No. Yeah, newsflash. Yeah, that's a lot. You know, and the thing is, a lot of people fail to realize, like, I've had all day, you know, I took some yoga, namaste, you know, so I done calmed down a little bit, you know, because if I would have spoke this morning, oh, it'd have been a whole different story. Like, this is literally the calm down version of me, where, you know, I've kind of had to have time to process it and go through those things. Like I said, I don't mind people interacting with me. I don't mind people speaking with me, but do it respectful. Because one thing about me is that I don't treat social media as this other thing. I think a lot of people treat social media like social media is this other thing. Social media is just out there. No, it is real people behind this keyboard and real people are typing real shit to you. And I feel like the things you say on social media, you need to be able to say these to my face. You would not walk up to my face, stranger, on anywhere and say these things to me. So that's why I have a problem. That's why I personally have a problem with it. I can't speak to everybody else, but I don't go on social media saying slanderous shit. I don't go on social media doing this. So I don't expect this in return. And that's the thing. It's like you come at me and then you just expect no response, or you act like there's something wrong with me because I clap back. But if we were face to face, I would have something to say to your face.
And I mean, for the record, I don't even think you really said anything disrespectful or really clap back on our own social media.
I didn't.
You know, like that's the thing is, I mean, speaking about confrontation and shit, she would have expected some type of, you know, argument or fight about it, and you were just the personification of class about it.
Yeah, because my thing is the first thing, because like I said, we've interacted with trolls a lot. Like, I don't think people fail to realize, it's like, for a lot of y'all who really don't have to deal with trolls, you really don't understand how they kind of come at the works and they ask stupid ass questions like that and all kinds of things just to get a rise out of you. Or sometimes they'll troll Roger, then they'll find me and they'll hit me up. So that's why I be like, well, who is this? Because a lot of times they'll troll him and then find me and come at me. So I need to know, do I need to block you? You know, what do I need to say? Because my first question to her was, how long have you been listening to the show? Because we've had fans that might not be listening to the show that long, and I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt that, you know, maybe, you know, you're new, you're trying to figure us out and find out, you know, more about us. I don't have a problem, you know, with that. But the thing is, if you, and she says she's a fan of the show, but baby, if you are really truly a fan of the show, why would that even come out your mouth?
Well, you know what else is weird? Like, I'm sick of the whole I'm a fan shit after you done said some sideways shit. Like, I don't want no fan like that. Like, you don't interact with me in a positive light at any other time. The first time you got something to say is something bad. Like, who is that? Who does that? I've been listening to your show over a year. Okay, cool. The first thing I wanted to say to you is something fucked up. Okay, fan. I mean, apparently we've been doing this thing right for a year. Apparently we've been doing this thing enough for you to keep listening all this time, and yet somehow we're here. Now my thing is, what was the thing, girl? What was the thing? Because it was something. Was it the Mother's Day discussion? Was it when we talked about Beyonce and the fat there are no fat women or femmes in the video thing? Was it like, what was the thing that happened on our show that you personally was like, I want to write in or be or disagree with, and I wish Karen would do it on my behalf? Because that's really what it is. you know, and they come at Karen because they think Karen's the weaker of the two because she's a woman. You know, it's the same way that I've never heard a man's voice criticized on any podcast I've ever listened to for 10 years now. It's always something women are doing wrong. So, you know, I take it personally offensive because, one, I would never run a show where the point of the show was to get Karen to back off of her opinion. I don't listen to shows like that.
No.
And there's some of y'all faves that do that shit, and I don't fuck with them because of that. They'll never be on our show. You know what I mean? So it's, so people do that shit, and I would never have that kind of show where it's like, shut up, woman. You know what I mean? Or whatever. The other thing is, I don't say shit that would cause it to be where we disagree and then Karen has to like step up to me. You know? And we change each other's minds all the time.
We do.
Whether it's the welfare discussion, whether it's when we reviewed Inside Out, whether like, whatever. Like, it's all kinds of times where I'm like, you know what? I hadn't thought of it from that way. Boom. And but it's never like an event because we go to the next thing. Last week Karen said, I'm just getting irrational about this shit and I don't give a fuck. I'm not changing my opinion. And you know what I said? Okay, next topic. What the fuck? I gotta sleep in the same bed at night. It's not that fucking important for a podcast, guys. It's really not. So maybe y'all used to listen to some, you know, y'all need to turn on some sitcoms and watch an episode of Martin so you can get your kicks from watching a couple fight, but that's not us. And we think alike because we've been together for 22 years. We've been married for 14. You know, some of y'all not even 22 years old. You know, so it's like maybe you're not used to that idea, but as Karen was talking, I was writing shit down while she was talking for shit that I wanted to say. Hey, the first thing you said was something negative. Karen said that. It's a loaded question. Karen said that. Karen is the quiet one, but she be getting more mad. Karen said that. I don't own Karen. Karen said that. Because did this because she's a woman. Karen said that. Always the ones who don't put in on this. I said that. Niggas that don't put in always got some slick shit to say.
Come on.
Like, that's the funniest, most entitled shit, period. It's people that's like, I don't retweet you. I don't leave reviews. I don't fucking email in. I don't donate. I'm not premium. I don't do shit. I just sit around and then I tell you how to do your shit better. Nigga, please. Why don't you go create something? Who hurt you? I said that. Also, you could have said something to me. Like, really, if it was a problem where you felt Karen was being stifled, that's really on me. As the host, you know what I mean? As the person that presents topics, if you feel like I'm backing her off of her opinion, you really got a problem with me, not Karen. You know, if I'm really that bully that's like, oh, she's speaking up, I'm gonna shut this shit down, then it's really on me. And you didn't say shit to me. And the other thing I think is people react on gender, man. There's so much gender war shit going on Twitter and social media and in people's lives constantly. There's a lot of people where me and Karen say the same thing. It's funny because you could tell who gets congratulated based on people's life experience.
Right.
Me and Karen can say the same fucking thing. Like, oh, I think this thing about Beyonce, or I think this thing about some certain dudes will hit me up. Certain ones won't. Certain women will hit Karen up. Certain ones won't. Like, some people feel more comfortable saying that, like, oh, Karen, you go, girl. Because there's a camaraderie there.
Right.
But there's also all this hurt and all this experience and all these scars that people have that they've collected in life. And then they bring that shit to us. And it's like, I don't want no parts of it. You know, everybody cool with me. I don't want no parts of it. If you got an issue where the men in your life have been shutting your ass down, you need to see somebody stand up for your goddamn self. But don't ask no shady questions and then hide your hand when I'm like, yo, that's a shady question. I'm just asking a question. That's like me being like, are you still a bitch? Oh, I just asked a question. Why are you getting offended? Like, it's an offensive question. It's a loaded question. If you can't even be honest about that, then you really can't be on a level to have a conversation. So that's how I took the shit, man. And yeah, don't write in with that bullshit, man. It's so pathetic, man. And we're not going to argue for your amusement. If that's what you're waiting on, you need to find another show.
Yes, sir.
There are tons of shows where people are arguing with each other for your pleasure. There's tons of shows where people just start shit and they don't know how to solve it with peacefully. They don't know how to talk to each other.
Mm-mm.
But this shit here, that's not going to happen, baby. So move on. All right.
And before we move on, something I did want to say. for those people that are in the Black Guy Who Tips a Nation, y'all do know that overall, we create a community of love. We create a community that gets along. We create a community of laughter, joke for those that are in the Facebook group. Overall, most people get along, you know, and so it's like we create this happy, you know, environment. And it's one of those things where, you know, for us to create this happy environment, it's just very frustrating for people to come at you sideways. But you're doing, look, I'm trying to do everything that I know how and that I can to make the world a better place, because the world is just so fucked up. So it's one of those things where it's fucked up enough, baby. I don't need you coming at me sideways.
It's always somebody without their picture and their avatar and with fucking like two followers and shit too. Like, it's the same motherfucker over and over and over again. Like, how whack can you be, man? She's just so corny to me, man. Anyway, catch this block.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm a blocker too, and so I want, and also I want to apologize about yesterday. The man who wrote Game of Thrones, I said I hope he died. I take that back. I apologize to all the book readers.
All right. Okay.
Wait a minute, let me finish. I apologize because I don't got to worry about that. Y'all gonna kill him from worrying him to death. So I'm gonna let y'all handle that. So I apologize. I don't wish death on nobody.
All right.
So I want to apologize about that. So to all the book readers, read Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. Y'all go ahead and worry this man to death.
Yeah, I noted that when you said it yesterday and didn't agree, but I just moved on because that's what I do. Okay, guys.
I know when I'm wrong. I will admit my faults.
Yeah, y'all ain't gonna get me cussed out so y'all can have a good show. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Y'all are crazy. That's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Because you do realize what they really trying to say, because I don't say crazy shit to Karen.
Oh, no.
What they really trying to say is I need to say some fuck shit, some ashy shit, so Karen can go off on me one time and you can feel good about your little self. Nigga, please. You better get your kicks by watching motherfucking Steve Harvey or some shit. Jerry Springer. Out of your goddamn mind. I gotta sleep here.
Right,
get
right.
Me stabbed in the middle of the night cause you bored. Fuck out of here.
Right, when these mics go out, we looking at each other in the face.
All right, let's recap Game of Thrones. Sorry about that, Miss Smart, but we had to do what we had to do.
We apologize, baby, but we had to address that.
It's episode 3 of season 6 of HBO's Game of Thrones, the 53rd episode overall. 53 of these. Shit.
Yep.
Man, it actually still holding up the ratings from last week. It's only down 0.01. And the episode is called Oathbreaker, in which we see Jon Snow brought back to life. We find out Ramsay Bolton is plotting his little gang of evil at Winterfell. Bran still having them visions of the past. Marine is dealing with trying to find a way to deal with the Sons of the Harpy. And I feel like I'm missing the location. Oh, King's Landing is trying to play politics and games to get Margaery in, out of the House Septon's hands. So I guess let me ask. Oh wait, actually, let me play the theme song. Forgot we're supposed to do that. Don't want to not do that. All right, ladies, let me get your overall thoughts on the episode. Karen, how did you feel about Oathbreaker?
I loved it.
All right, Miss Smart, how'd you feel about it?
I liked it. I want more of it.
More of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm, okay. All right. I also enjoyed it. I continue to marvel at how the fuck they are having so many plots going on at the same time, and I still feel like they could do more.
Right.
That's crazy. Like, they did, what, are we 3 episodes into this season, we still ain't seen Littlefinger?
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm interested as fuck as well. I don't know what he up to, but it's something fucked up. I know.
You know what he is.
I know he's ass plotting. Mm-mm. All right, we'll get into the scene by scene breakdown of the show, as we do. So we start out with Jon Snow getting out of the rice, and Davos is doing Davos and Kit Harington were having a breathe off in that first scene. Like, if you listen to that first scene, it's no dialogue for like, I don't know, a minute, and it's just both of them being like looking at each other.
A Kanye West song.
It was like every woman staring at Kit Harington's naked body was inside of Davos. and he was breathing like he ran up a flight of stairs. And so John, you know, is coming to grips with being brought back to life, and he sits up and he tries to stand up, and then Davos did his best Danny Ray impression and grabbed him and put the coat over him like James Brown. And he asked John what he remembered, and John remembered everything up to his death, like getting stabbed, everything. And I was like, damn, that sucks. You kind of wish you could, like, post-concussion syndrome, you know, skip over what happened, but.
Nah, he remembered.
He said, Ollie put the knife in my heart. I said, damn, John, you know your boy betrayed you.
Yep.
Then here come Melisandre, hoping John saw something after he died. Like, nigga, didn't you just give up on your faith? How you all the way back that quick? She just came back and was like, what you see after you died? You see some.
She was like, I can't believe it.
She started getting real religious, and then she put her Gollum ass hands on Jon Snow.
Imagine in 2-year-old hands.
And Davos told her ass to dip and get the hell on with all that religion and shit. And she was like, y'all take this moment. But what now, do y'all think Melisandre is going to like follow Jon Snow? Do you think she thinks he's the chosen one? Because she said the prince or the king that she saw in her visions wasn't Stannis, but it got to be somebody. Do you think she's gonna be on Jon Snow dick now, Miss Smart?
Yes, I mean I would. I mean, because he's fine, of course. But then,
I mean, for the prophecy, y'all. It's not
not for your own edification.
Yeah, Karen, what about you? You think she's gonna be following Jon Snow around?
Oh yeah, like a puppy dog. Wherever he goes, she go.
All right. So John finally said something that I've been waiting for him to say all my life. He said, I did what I thought was right and I got murdered for it. And now I'm back. Why? And I said, fuck, exactly. Stop trying to be good all the time, man. You got to do some harsh shit to survive the Game of Thrones, man. And that's the only lesson I need him to learn, man. I don't really care about the rest. Like, people was rooting for him, and I was like, I got to root against him because of the way the show set up. He going to die. You can't be nice like this.
Noble ass. They can't kill him twice.
Oh, for sure. But I'm just saying, I applaud his growth.
Oh, yeah.
He came back petty, and that's what I need. You know what I'm saying? He came back like, yo, I tried to help, and these niggas killed me. And Davos like, that's what niggas do. And Davos said it don't matter that he got killed, cause you need to just try to clean up as much as you can clean up of the shit. And just, if you gotta fail, you just fail over and over. But, you know, that's cool. Don't worry about it. And I know that would be Davos's philosophy because he does always do the right thing. But Davos' life fucked up, man. You know, he missing fingers. Nigga got locked up in jail. He just learned how to read last week. Like, yeah, don't take advice from him, John.
Yeah, because, and the thing about it, that might be the end of his reading lesson. His teacher got burnt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know how much he learned, but I'm just saying, you know, he just learned how to pronounce that silent G, you know. Like, come on, man. You cannot be taking this man's word, like, at face value when he talk about some, sometimes you just got to fail. Nah, man, how that shit work out for you? So then, John went outside after he got dressed, and, he saw Tormund, who was like, what up, my nigga? He was like, what's up, dog? I'm alive. And he was like, it's good to see you, dog. All these people think you a god, but I know you're not, cause I was looking at your dick and it's little. And then John was like, I guess that's cool. Okay.
I don't know how to respond.
Hey, man, you got a little dick? He was like, all right, cool, man. Good to see you too. Then he hugged Ed, Dolorous Ed, who was the person that went and got the wildling, so he really wouldn't even have came back to life if not for that dude. Mm-hmm. And Ed was like, "Hi, I know it's you. Your eyes still brown. You sure you in there?" And then John made a joke, and then Ed was like, "Nigga, you, is it really you? Cause you don't usually make these jokes." And he was like, "Nah, it's me, cuz." Then we cut to Samwell with Gilly, and they was on the ship with the baby,
trying to get his education on.
he got that Negro College scholarship fund.
Yeah, yep. He does. He was like, "By any means necessary."
So yeah, it must have been Carnival Cruise, and he must have ate the shrimp,
because he was throwing up everywhere.
Right, it was disgusting. And Gilly was just chilling, just standing. Like, Gilly comes so far in life. Like, she just had such a fucked up beginning to her life.
Right. She was like, "This right here, this is fabulous. I'm cool with this."
She appreciate everything. I'm sorry, Miss Smart. What were you saying?
No, I was just saying, right. I mean, she might be like the China of this whole situation. Like, the China Kardashian.
Yeah. Because she was like, "Me and my baby was in a whorehouse. I almost got killed out there with you and
started from the bottom, now we're here.
We almost
had a baby by her daddy." I mean, mm-hmm. She's really come up.
Like you don't even really gotta take Gilly nowhere like nice. You just be like, "Oh, this is my apartment." She like, "Oh, this is nice. Four walls? A door? Is that a door? Does it work both ways? It closed? Your door closed? Wow. I never been nowhere like this before. Wow. Is this tap water? Tap water. Y'all got running water coming out the faucet.
Your toilet's flush?
Wow. I didn't know I was dating a baller." So Gilly was like, "Did I ever tell you that I thought the sea was the sea? Cause it's filled with water as far as the eye can see. And sea sound alike. But I know that now that I can read." And Sam was looking like, "What you gonna tell me about that bitch that you hate at work next? I'm throwing up. I just want to throw up and pretend I'm not on the ship." But Gilly was excited to be out the house. Mm-hmm. So then Sam had to break the bad news to her. Apparently, even in Westeros, they don't be wanting the women to go to school, man. Mm-mm. Only men could go to the Citadel, where he's headed to be a maester. So she can't come. And she was like, "Oh, I just do like it was at Castle Black. I wasn't supposed to be there either." He was like, "Well, I don't got Jon Snow." And
right, it ain't the same. I got that pool, dog.
Yeah, Aemon dead. Like, I can't get you in. And then she was like, "Well, you ain't got no off-campus housing or nothing?" He was like, "Nah."
"I can't live around the corner." He was like, "Nah, right, dog. Right.
The way my scholarship fund set up,
right, you can't have me in the room. You know, I did left your meal card." He was like, "Nah, dog, I can't do that."
Just like a man. You give him some, then he start changing all his promises. Well, he used to be like, "Oh, wherever you go, I'm going." Now he like, "Girl, why don't you back up off of me?" But then after he told her, like, "Look, you can't come with me," she was like, she went over by the baby, and he laid the Mac down tight. He was like, "Baby, I'm just doing this for us.
I believe him, too."
And she was like, "Plus, you trying to save the world, right?" And he was like, "Fuck the world. I'm just doing this for us and the world. I mean, I guess, you know, the world cool, too." And she was like, "So what you gonna do with me?" And he was like, "You can go live with my family." And he got like a dad that he said, look, no matter how bad his dad is, can't be worse than her dad. So, right. I mean, I feel like that's a win. His mom, he said, was cool, and his sister was real cool. So they gonna help take care of the baby. And she said, "Well, I trust you because you're the father of my child." And then they panned over to that blonde hair, blue eyed little baby.
He officially became a father, a baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't trust it. Sam is doing that thing where, like, when you go home with a dude for a holiday and they try to get you all flanked by the women so they can go out to the club. That's what he's doing. He's mm-hmm. trying to go off the campus and kick it.
That's what I think. Watch when we get there. It's going to be all kinds of women on campus. Yep. I'm like, "Oh, this nigga."
Off campus parties.
Sam finally got something that elevated his sense of self. He going to be on Tinder thinking he a 10.
Yep.
So anyway, he told her to go live with his family and shit. Now, do y'all feel like Gilly is setting Samwell up to get half that check when he graduates from master school? I mean, it's not a bad plan. I mean, she's gonna have him strapped with a baby.
She's not that smart.
Oh.
I think she just stayed no matter what. Okay. Like, honestly, cause she was like, anything is better than my baby daddy father I got happening here.
Right. Mm,
that's a good point. Well, hopefully she can get him on child support, but we'll see.
Yeah, she was like, we on welfare. Welfare is better than nothing, baby. I'm here. Where we going?
Oh, man. I know his parents gonna flip when they see that motherfucking baby, though.
Right.
They about to be like, nigga, this ain't your baby. I'm like, no, it is, mom. Nobody in our family blind. Come on now. She got darker.
For Cersei and her kids. She passed them blonde hair kids off.
Nah, she did,
but everybody know. Everybody be talking about them. So then it was flashback time. Bran and the old three-eyed crow man was hanging out, and they was looking at Ned Stark, who's now probably like, I guess he was supposed, how y'all think he was supposed to be in this vision?
I thought he was in his late teens, early 20s.
Okay. Somewhere around in there.
Okay, so a younger Ned Stark, but older than last week.
Right.
And Howland Reed, who is Mira's daddy. Mira is the girl who was in the cave with him.
Okay.
Whose brother died. Okay. Mm,
okay.
So they roll up on Sir Arthur Dayne, who apparently is the illest nigga in Nebraska when it comes to this sword shit.
Yes, he is.
And they call him the Sword of the Morning. I don't know how he got the name. I didn't feel like looking it up. Don't write me. I don't want to know. If they tell me on the show, that's how I find out. But yeah, so they call him the Sword of the Morning, and he was like chilling at the tower, at this tower in the background. And Ned rolled up with Howland and like six other dudes, and it was just two knights. It was just Arthur Dayne and some other dude. And Ned was like, hey man, I ain't see you at the Trident. What happened? Now I'm assuming the Trident was a battle. It must have been a decisive battle, with because basically they were saying those two dudes were the guards for Rhaegar, who was the kidnapper rapist of Ned's sister.
Okay.
So those two dudes were the guards, and they wasn't at this battle where he got killed. And he was like, yeah, you lucky we wasn't there, punk, because if we did, we would have killed your friend, the usurper, who was Robert Baratheon, King Robert, the fat dude that got killed by the boar, I think, in season one.
Yeah.
So, or season two or something. So he was like, if we would have killed Rob, and then all this shit would have been fucked up. And so he was like, and so I'm like, damn, they must be some badass niggas, though, to even say that to these dudes' face, because they talking to like eight niggas.
Yeah, it's just like two or three of them.
It was two of them.
Oh, right.
And he was just like, yeah, you lucky you weren't there, man. We would have won the whole war by ourselves, bitch. And he was like, nah, you wouldn't, dog. He's like, oh, try me. And so then Ned was like, well, you wasn't there. And Rhaegar is dead and the Mad King dead. So that means that's who Jaime stabbed in the back. We never got to see him.
Mm-mm.
But he's like a crazy Targaryen.
And ain't
shit.
That Daenerys' father?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they dead. So Ned was like, why don't y'all just give up? We don't really even need to fight. And they was like, you want it to be one way, but it's about to be the other way. because we actually out here protecting this tower. And Ned was like, so where my sister? And Buddy said, I wish you good fortune in the wars to come. And now it begins.
It's on. Yep.
And both these niggas was dual sword wielders.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. They ain't even had no shields or nothing. They was just like, oh, we gets down like this. And so Ned was like, no, now it ends. And then it was all, you know.
they was giving them the business, though.
Yeah, it was. Here's the thing. They was older than them little young dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But what they liked in youth, they made for up in old man strip, because them knights was whooping their ass.
Yeah, they were giving them the business. They started falling down one by one by one.
Yo, he knocked down Howland Reed the first move. He was just like, slap, get on the ground. He was like, ouch, I got cut. He just laid down and played dead. And then they started fighting, and like Ned killed the guard that wasn't the Sword of the Morning.
Yeah.
So then they still had 5-1 against the Sword of the Morning. And this motherfucker beat they ass. He killed everybody except Ned. And it was just Ned by himself. And Ned was looking like, ah, shit.
Right. And the thing before that, the dude that died right before, it was just him and Ned. Mm-hmm. Ned was actually behind him, held him up. He took his double swords and like went across that dude's neck. I was like, oh.
And what was crazy was that, of course, this is all happening because it's in the past. Bran and the Three-Eyed Raven are looking. And Bran was like, this nigga is way too good. He way better than my daddy. And the Three-Eyed Raven was like, he sure is. And then Bran was like, nah, my father told me he beat him. And he was like, did he? And Bran was like, I heard the story 1,000 times. And then Three-Eyed Raven was like, just keep watching, Dan. Sword of the Morning basically like disarmed Ned and was about to deliver the killing blow when Hal and Reed jumped back up, stabbed the Sword of the Morning in the back of the neck, and then Ned delivered the like final blow to kill him. But that's how he won, stabbing him in the back. So then Ned heard a yell from the tower behind him, and he ran to go up the tower, and Bran wanted to keep looking so he could see what happened in the tower. And the Three-Eyed Raven dude was like, nah, cuz it's time to go. And Bran was like, but I want to see what's in the tower. And he yelled out, dad. And his dad in the vision turned around.
I think he heard him.
And then they woke up. So, okay. You think he heard him, Karen? So, okay. See, cause here's the thing. Bran can do the animal possession thing. And even Hodor, he wasn't supposed to be able to possess a person, but he possessed Hodor. And he could do the time travel shit with the visions. Do you think he can affect the past? He can change the past?
Yes, it wouldn't. Yeah. I think right now, because he's not trained, no. But I think as they go on, he gonna break that wall, because it's like, he's kind of learning, because he was like, because he got mad at him like once they come back, and he was like, why am I here? He was like, you can't leave until you learn everything.
Yeah, he's super, what I'm saying is he's super powerful in ways they say other people aren't,
right?
So I wonder if he can change the past or maybe even the future. Miss Smart, what do you think?
I think he can change the past. He doesn't know it yet, and the guy that's rolling with him also doesn't know yet. He doesn't know the level of this kid's power. Cause he keeps saying, oh, if you stay here longer, you're gonna get sucked in, whatever. I don't think he will get sucked in. I think he is strong enough that he can pull himself out at a point far beyond what other people could pull themselves out at.
Yeah, I think we'll have to find out by him being like, no, I'm staying in. But it really does seem like they setting it up where he's more powerful than anybody else mentally, you know? And when he came, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, right.
And when he came back, he was like, I don't want to come back here. I can't even walk. This is some bullshit. And Buddy was like, you can't walk. It's a tree growing out my ass. You think I want a tree growing out my ass,
think
little boy?
I planned this, dog?
Right. Like, I've been waiting on your ass all my life for 1,000 years. And now you want to come here and be uppity about this shit? He's like, you leave. When you learn everything, then you can leave. And I was like, this old man is the worst version of Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Like, as a time travel chaperone, he sucks. You know, I have no fun. Yeah, man, he was, you know, I mean, I would take advice from a dude that got a tree growing out his ass, because, I mean, I don't want that to happen to me.
Apparently, you fertilized yourself and kept yourself alive. You're doing something right.
Yeah. I like that Leaf and the other little treelings was looking over at them like, damn, they arguing, y'all. So my question is this, what else could we see in these flashbacks what would y'all want to see if they could show flashbacks of anything they've alluded to in the past? Karen, anything?
Several things. I think, he gonna remember that Cersei, whatchamacallit, pushed him out that window.
Oh, he forgot that?
Yeah, remember how at the
beginning. Oh, no, I think he knew the whole time. I think he lied. Yeah, because if he would have said that they did, they would have killed him. Shit, they was gonna kill him anyway. So he had to be like, nah, I don't remember what happened. And everybody had to pretend that it wasn't Jamie. But they know Jamie did it. Okay. It just ain't shit they can do. I mean, it, at the time, that was the king.
Because, like, if he can go in the past or in the future, he probably going to find out where his brothers and sisters are. Mm. Like, where their exact location is and shit like that.
What about you, Ms. Smart? What would you like to see him do with his power?
I want to see, and I don't even know if he could do this because it's going into somebody else's family. Mm-hmm. But how did the little guy, what's his name? They always talk about his mother dying in childbirth. But
Tyrion.
I don't know that I believe that. I believe maybe she got killed as punishment for having a dwarf child, or there's something else. They keep going back to it. They keep going back to that point. That as well as, of course, right now I can't think of anything.
It's all right. I got one. Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to see Jaime kill the Mad King. Cause like they keep bringing up this central figure and all this shit. Everything popped off basically when the Mad King died. You know, I would love to see that. Rhaegar. I love to see Rhaegar because apparently he was a beast with the battling and shit. But also, you know, he stole this girl. And, you know, if they could show any of the pivotal battles, you know, if they could show what was it, the Trident or whatever, he brought it up. Like, if they could show some of that shit, I would love to see it. So, you know, that kind of shit is what I want to see. Cause like, for a scene from the past, look, if you gonna be showing me the Sword of the Morning killing like six niggas in a row, I'm in. Yeah, let's do that. Rewind. But I guess the most likely thing we'll see is whatever happened in that tower at some point.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't sound good.
No.
All right. So Danny arrived at the retirement home for widows.
Yes, she did.
You know, that was an awkward scene when she walked in.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, "Thank you for being a friend."
That's how I felt when Danny walked in, because it was a bunch of old ass women chilling, and they all had attitudes.
You didn't expect like a lemonade moment when they like embraced her and like gave her less life lessons.
I wanted it, but of course, you know, it's Dothraki, so they was hella rude, right. And they did what they always do, strip all the clothes off of your ass, no changing room or nothing, rude ass.
Right down the spot.
Like, they always stripping some of my clothes off, it's so annoying. Like, nigga, I paid for that. They like, give me your shit. And then apparently, the headmistress of the house, or bottom bitch, I don't know how you, I don't know what the Dothraki, hierarchy, how it works. I know in the pimp language, the woman that runs the house is the bottom bitch, but maybe she was the house mother, den mother. I don't know. At any rate, she wasn't feeling Danny at all. And she was supposed, we find out Danny was supposed to come there soon as Khal Drogo died, but nah, she wanted to run the whole Westeros. And so they was like, you can't just be violating these rules and shit. And then Danny was like, that's cause you don't know who I am, motherfucker. You know, I'm Daenerys Stormborn. They were like, breaker of chains.
We don't care.
Queen of Marine, mother of dragons, house of pain, master of disaster, life of pie, and the Shogun of Harlem.
No, they was like, take this sackcloth, bitch, and be quiet.
Yeah, geriatric Katie Siegel was like, that's real nice, bitch.
That's cute.
But you know what? You thought your man was gonna run the world, huh? Yeah, me too. Now he dead. I thought my man was going to run the world too. Khal Savo, you ever heard of him? I used to have dreams like you.
And aspirations.
But that's not how any of this works. And if we let you stay with us, if we let you stay with us, that's the best thing that could happen to you. And since you wanted to take the long way home, we might not even let your ass stay.
But did Danny know that was a rule that you got to go stay with these old broads if your dude dies?
I will say this. Okay, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to the lore of this universe. It is quite motherfucking convenient how she remembered all these rules all of a sudden. Why this never came up before? Right. Like, somebody ain't never bend her ear like, yo, you know you're not supposed to be running Westeros, right? You're supposed to be retiring, right? You're supposed to go to the widow house. She just magically knows all this shit this year. Like, oh yeah, I know the Thackeray house. I forgot, you know. Anyway, she was talking about how she ate the heart of a horse or something. I was like, nigga, we don't care. We eat horse hearts on Thursday. Okay. So apparently it's the Kala Vezivan, which, is gonna be like the, I guess it's the Dothraki South by West. I don't know. Just something. But it's like for some anarchists, they really do organize pretty well. Mm-hmm. They got the widow house. They get the annual Dothraki Vezivan, whatever the fuck. Like, they really do a lot of teleconferences and calls and shit to really get this. Like, I feel like they have day planners, and that is not something that I got from Khal Drogo at all, but now I'm not so sure these dudes are anarchists.
And I know you might never ask this question, but when it comes to Dothraki, is it just one big group, or is it like a big group here, then it might be a big group somewhere else?
It sounds like it's a bunch of big ass groups.
Okay.
And some is whack and some is cool, but.
Okay. That makes more sense.
You know, but before it made it sound like they were just but you know what? That makes sense. Cause you know who told us that? White people. Mm. White people was the ones being like, they some savages. They don't believe in anything. Then you find out they got this distinctly organized historical religious traditional culture.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's right. White people probably wouldn't appreciate that. That does make sense. They're just like, they just some pieces of shit. And then you're like, oh, so y'all actually predate all these white folks, huh? Okay.
Very organized. Okay.
Where have I heard that before? Varys is in the throne room. And back in Marine with an MLK church fan sitting down sweating.
Yes, he was in that hot ass room.
He was like, it's hot as the dickens in here. And so they brought that Jezebel, mm-hmm. who had killed a son of the harpy, and she had helped kill the six, whatever those dudes are called. She had helped kill those dudes that were all like mercenaries and shit. That Dario runs, and come to find out her Varys had known her name. It was Vala, and he already knew because he ran a background check on her on intellius.com.
What did he know? He got the internet.
Yeah. And he basically said, look, I know you killed them dudes, and you know that mean what it mean, we gotta kill you, but I don't want to have to do to you like that. And she was like, well, I can't tell you shit because they'll kill me. And he's like, that's a good point. And, you know, I understand why you did it. Because she explained, like, look, I had to do it because y'all brought in foreign people. You know, you got the Unsullied and the Sons of the Harpy. The Unsullied and the Six Sons. That's what she helped kill. Anyway, so she was like, they foreign armies. Y'all brought them in our city. Y'all erasing our history. So yeah, of course I want y'all to die. I hope they rot in hell or whatever. And so he offered her his traditional standard prostitute stimulus package for her and her son, Dom. Who he called a handsome boy with big brown eyes. Good luck keeping the ladies off of him. And she thought it was a threat. She's like, you threatening my son? And he was like, I'll never hurt the babies. Children, them my little birds. He's like, I'm just saying, eventually, your son will be in trouble because you're going to be dead. Who going to take care of your son? And you know he got asthma?
I was like, God damn, he did all the research.
And he's like, I also hacked Rachel Roy's emails. Right. So if you need to see what they've been up to, if she's really Becky with the good hair, I will let you know.
Right. I checked the medical records, his pediatrician. Mm-hmm. I can give you the name.
So she was faced with a dilemma. Mm-hmm. To get out of jail free. Oh, and he offered her a big ass bag of silver too. Like, look at this. I can't even carry it. I hope you don't expect me to carry it. But I'll get one of them muscly men to bring it in here with you. And you can be on the ship tonight at dawn. You be gone. And she was like, okay, let me think about it. And so in another room, Tyrion is talking to former slaves, Missandei and Grey Worm. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what y'all talk about? And it was like, mostly slave shit, dog.
Right. Like, police trolling, that's what I do. I go around, I arrest people. That's what I talk about.
Yeah, patrol. He was like, that's more like a report, not talking.
Right.
And he's like, well then, do y'all play games? And Masande was like, my master used to play this game with all the girl slaves. He's like, nah, that's not.
Not that type of game, y'all. No.
That's called rape. That's not a game.
Yeah. Right. Not the rape games. We don't talk about those. And then, Tyrion suggested, a drinking game, but they both don't drink. So it was just, the whole conversation was dying on the vine.
Right. He was like, y'all gotta work with me somewhere, damn.
Yeah, he privileged the shit, man. He don't know it. So then, Varys walk in and he was like, and Tyrion's like, oh, thank God you here, man. You always late, and, you know, about to crack some jokes about you not having no dick. And then, Varys is like, well, I'm late because I was finding out who behind the Sons of the Harpy, and it's all the former masters from Astapor, Yunkai, and Volantis, the cities that they conquered on the way over, and, you know, abolished slavery suddenly and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they all put their money together to fund the Sons of the Harpy terrorism. A Grey Worm was like, cool, so when we rolling out to kill them? And Tyrion said, hey man, if y'all leave Marine, who gonna protect the free people? AKA also me, because
right.
I've been axed in the face once. And so it was funny because both Varys and Tyrion was like, well, we could talk this out. We could figure something out. And both of the former slaves, Missandei and Grey Worm, was like, oh, no, we're killing them, right? Because, you know, that's the only thing they understand is killing.
Right. Ain't no diplomatic to this. Mm-mm. Diplomacy, I'm sorry, no.
Right. And Tyrion was like, it's on the table. And so they ended the scene by Tyrion asking Varys if his birds could contact all the masters and get them a message. And he said, he doesn't trust men, but, you know, his birds have never failed him or something like that. So apparently he'll be sending a message to him. And we find out immediately in the next scene, birds means children.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cause Qyburn done took over Varys' spot in King's Landing as the Master of Whispers.
Right.
And he got the little kids apparently patrolling the streets, overhearing shit, then they report back to him. And, they was like, is Varys coming back? And he was like, nah, he gone. And he was like, cause he used to give us sweets. And he was like, speaking of which, I got some candy plums for y'all. And they was like, ooh, candy plums. And they ate them shits. And right about then, Mountainstein came downstairs with Jaime and Cersei.
Yeah, I was like, Varys in trouble. Somebody freaking out and hacked his account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got Varys' password.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He hacked that
shit. Whole contact list.
Yeah.
His photo gonna be changed. Description gonna be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that Mountainstein was down there and the kids got scared and Qyburn was like, nah, it's cool, he my boy, and you friends with me, then y'all friends with him. And the kids like, suddenly we don't want to eat them plums anymore. And he was like, y'all can go. And they was like, bye, and they ran out. And then Cersei and Jaime was like, Jaime was talking real sideways about Mountainstein to his face. He was like, does he understand words? And not like he really understood before, am I right? And then the Mountainstein looked at him like, nigga, what? And he was like, oh, he can't understand. And Qyburn was like, he understands enough. And he's like, well, if he understands, then send his ass into the Sept and have him kill the High Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And Cersei was like, there's so many Faith militant around, like, he'll never make it. Like, right. He would need help. And besides, I got a plan. He only gonna have to kill one person. And it sounds like they're looking for some sort of trial by combat. Like, apparently, whenever they level the charges against Marjorie or Lancel, they can do what they did with Tyrion and have a trial by combat, I guess.
Okay.
Where you can, like, fight your way to freedom, I guess I don't know what the rules are with the Sept. And I do feel like this show does pull that bullshit sometimes where it's like, psych, it's different rules this time, so I don't know, but that's what it sounds like. At any rate, he Cersei also says, in addition to that, have your little birds spread out. I want them to go to Highgarden, Dorne, and to the north. And anybody talking shit about me, I want them to know they better put some respect on my name.
Mm-hmm. I'm checking my Instagram account. I'm checking my Twitter account. Yep. They better not say nothing about me on Snapchat. I want a new.
And she's like, I'm killing niggas. If they talk shit, they die. So let me know anybody talk some shit.
And at that moment, I was like, she back.
Mm-hmm. She was in formation. For sure. So then they had the small table where the small council sits. And it was like Kevin, who's the brother of, how am I already forgetting his name? Tyrion's father. Y'all remember his name? Tywin.
Tywin?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tywin. So Tywin's tape is gone, but Kevin, his brother, is there. Kevin with an A, cause he's a thug. He was there and he was sitting at the head of the table and he was like, we having this meeting. And Master Pycelle was there. Lady Olena was there. And then, the Master Tyrell or whatever, the Lord Tyrell was there. The dude who had went to get the money from the bank.
He barely made it back.
Yeah, he made it back without his guard, though.
Yeah, he did.
At any rate, so they were there, and in walks Pycelle is going on this grand rant about how, you know, Cersei is fucked up, and Qyburn, he don't like Qyburn, and what they did to Sir Gregor is an atrocity.
He's just a talking.
Right, and everybody heard them come in, but remember, he's hard of hearing.
Yeah!
So he didn't hear this motherfucker come in, and he just seen everybody turn, and he turned in the middle of his sentence and seen Mountainstein coming through with Cersei and Jaime.
He was like, I done fucked up.
And, okay, now listen. I'm calling it early, and maybe I hope I'm wrong. But he really farted, y'all.
He did. He did.
Hey, look, farted. Man. If the show go... That. Say yeah. Again, Spark.
I said I missed that.
He did. It was like.
Here's the thing. If the show jumps the shark, this win. That moment. That's not supposed to happen on this show, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, he's like 102 years old. He probably lost his bowel.
I don't give a fuck. They spent way too much money for that type of humor. For that type of humor. It's way too much money. I'm sorry. You know, I wish if I was at HBO and I was an executive, I would have been like, man, what the fuck? How much did this shit cost? $1 million an episode? Nah, we not doing that. Yeah, $10 million an episode?
Yeah, I heard that the first time he passed gas.
Take that fart out of here, man. That's ridiculous. This ain't fucking Sanford and Son. They gotta be ashamed of themselves for that shit. Anyway, so he farted. Huge size. Cersei walked in and asked why Lady Alina was at the small council table because petty as always. She just walked in and was like, what's she doing here? It's like, nigga, what you doing here? You not on the council?
Right.
So she was like, what's she doing here? And Lady Olena was like, I got this baby. And she was like, they asked me to come here to handle several important things they need handling, you know, because I'm the money. And also, the queen's imprisonment. We got to talk about that. And Cersei was like, that's a good point. I did want to talk about my imprisonment because my treatment when I was in prison was fucked up. And Lady Tyrell was like, bitch, you ain't the queen. Marjorie the queen. I see how you could easily get confused though, because your family be fucking each other. I was like, damn. With all that incest and shit. But she was like, we talking about Marjorie. And then Kevin was like, Cersei, you ain't even supposed to be here. And Jaime was like, well, I'm Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, so I do get to be here. You can ask Master Pycelle. And Pycelle was like, well, the Mad King had the Commander of the Kingsguard on his table, but he was mad. And while he was doing all that talking, Jaime went and sat him down a seat for him and Cersei. And Cersei was like, so Kevin, of all the little shit that you handling, what about avenging Marcella's death? You know, your niece. And Jaime was like, yeah, plus the women in Dorne is wilding the fuck out. They control that shit now. And Kevin was like, look, man, y'all not even supposed to be sitting at this table. And I can't make y'all leave the table, but we can leave. We ain't got to be here. Yeah. Everybody Beast, Turbo, Crunch, let's roll out.
They was like, unless you gonna get him to kill all of us, and you have some real problems if we all die in this goddamn room right here.
He called Mountainstein that thing, though. I said, this nigga is bold. And Lady Olena leaned forward, started smiling in Cersei's face. They hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they left, and my favorite thing was that Jaime, Cersei, and Mountainstein just sat there for a little bit, like, let these niggas leave. So then Tommen went to visit the Highsanders about letting his mom come see Marcella's grave, and the Highsanders like, she can't come up in here. Mm-mm. You know, she'll catch on fire. and Tommen was like, it's her daughter though, she need to see you. And he was like, look, she ain't even answered for her crimes. He said, nigga, she did the walk of shame. He said, that's just bail, okay? Walk of shame is just the weekend work release program. If she really want to be completely free of sin, she has to come in and take a trial before the seven judges, and she would have to admit to all her crimes. And he said, you know, your mama got a lot of lying up in her, and she don't, the truth is not in her, so she gotta get out, tell the truth, and then we can, she can come through, man. You know, it's, your mom said, and then, Tommen was like, but I'm the king. And he was like, your mom said the crown and faith are the twin pillars of the world. And then they made all the soldiers leave. And then he was like, you know, your mom be lying, right?
Wait, do y'all think Pastor Bernie's lying about what the penalty should be? Because where's the book with this written in it? Where are these rules he's making up?
I think he's making them up.
Yeah,
I think he's drunk with power.
I haven't enjoyed the High Sanders plot because they don't really talk about the rules.
Mm-mm.
And I know that that's a kind of a thing on the show, like just certain shit happens and you're like, that can happen? But I don't know. I guess I'm getting a little tired of it because I wish I knew the rules, because it don't even seem like the people on the show know the rules. And then they be surprised when the shit happens. But it's like, if you knew they could just take you hostage and hold a trial, like, why the fuck didn't this ever come up until this moment, you know?
Yeah, and that's partially Cersei's fault, because she's just like, yeah, y'all do whatever y'all want to, and she didn't do her research.
Right. So the Highsanders is like, your mom be lying. You know, she called black people super predators, and she,
oh Lord,
she used to be against marriage equality, and she only tell the truth when she talking about you and how she love you. And when she walked home, when she did that walk of shame, she did that because she loves you, and that's the only time that she's real. And that love that she learned is from the mother, one of their gods. And he's like, and that's the reason that it's pure, is because it's from otherworldly. She don't get it, don't come from her. And Tommen started talking about how Tywin told him he need to get good counsel after the Highsanders told him he need to get good counsel. And he really was eating out of the Highsanders' hand. Like, he at one point was like, sit down with me and shit. And they were sitting down talking. So how long y'all think before they putting the MJ face on Tommen?
Next week.
He about to take that L.
Yeah, you can't trust the Highsanders, dog.
Mm-mm.
Meanwhile, Arya was getting her training on.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, we cut to what was that? Wherever that room is, in Braavos, where she was training, and they had a big ass montage and shit. She was blind fighting, y'all.
Yes, she was.
She was blind fighting. She had motherfucking, she was sniffing potions with her, with just sniffing them and making them by without seeing. She was, playing the lying game that she had tried to master last year and she didn't. Well, she lies. She tries to slide lies in, and then if you get caught, they hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to learn how to become like an overall badass assassin. You know, cause, shit wasn't looking too good for Arya last week, you know?
Mm-mm.
And then in the montage, she finally admitted that the Hound wasn't on her list anymore when she killed her, and she did like him. Or when he got killed. And she left him for dead, but she didn't kill him cause he wasn't on her list. Which I feel like we kinda knew, but some people were saying different.
Yeah, I think she really did like him.
We found out Walter Frey was the only person left on her list. Which I guess she killed Marion Trent. The Hound is dead. I can't remember who else was on that list, but and they was like, "You sure that's everybody that's on the list?" She's like, "Everybody, it's straight. I'm not gonna kill nobody else." And they was like, "All right." So then she finally hit that girl with the bow staff and blocked the return blow, and I guess that was the end of the trial. And Zartan came in and was like, "One more time, you're like, if a girl says her name, I give her her sight back." And she says, "A girl has no name." And he's like, "Come on over here, drink from the poison water fountain that killed that other little girl." And she drank from it, and her eyes came back. She could see.
Yep. Her probate is gonna be so dope.
Like, so dope.
What you think? In the tail of her line.
What you think her line name gonna be?
Shit. I don't know. I have to take a day on that one.
I need to know the line. I need to know the theme for the line. This year.
She don't come in a Bruce Lee gold and black outfit.
I can't wait. Cause she finally graduated. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you made it.
Yeah, a line of one.
Yeah. Everybody keeps wondering, like, somebody asked me, like, what do you think she's gonna do next, Rod? Whatever Zartan say. That's what the fucking lesson was. She got in that predicament because she was being fast out here, just killing people because they on her list. She ain't even throw needle away. Remember that?
She sure did.
Yeah.
She was always trying to hold on to herself, and apparently for assassin training to kick in, your ass got to really be able to just let that shit go. And somebody was like, "Oh, I don't like this storyline because it took away all her personality and her joy and all this shit." But one of the things I really like about Game of Thrones is that everybody pays the cost for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you really want to, like, kill a motherfucker, you can do it, but it's gonna cost you. You're gonna have to make some sacrifices.
Right.
And so she made some sacrifices. All right. Meanwhile, back in Winterfell. Ramsey is having a meeting.
This guy.
Yeah, your boy. Ramsey's having a meeting, creating alliances and shit. It's him, that Karstark dude from last week. And this dude that was one of the Umbers. Apparently the Umbers are a family in the north that has always been loyal to the Starks. But ever since Jon Snow brought the wildlings in past the wall, they've been like, "Man, fuck the Starks. We need some help fighting these wildlings, and we want an alliance." And they was like, "How we know you gonna be loyal?" And he was like, "Nigga, how I know y'all gonna be loyal?"
Right.
I mean,
you talking to Ramsey.
Let's keep it real. Your ass is a Karstark. You betrayed the Starks, and y'all share blood.
Yeah, and the funny thing, when he was talking, he was asking, like, "How your daddy die?" He was like, pause. He was like, I was like, "He don't believe you."
Well, no, he told him. He said, "You killed your daddy, nigga."
Right.
And Ramsey was like, "No, our enemies poisoned my father." He's like, "Look, your daddy was a cunt.
Yeah.
And that's why my family ain't stay loyal to his ass. We ain't pledge loyalty. And also, I know you killed him." And he was like, "No, he didn't. The enemies poisoned him." And he was like,
Right. I was like, "He don't believe you."
Yeah. Okay. So we were sticking with that lie. And he's like, "Yes, it's a shame. Our enemy's poisoned." And he's like, okay then, dog.
But dude was talking to Ramsey like he didn't know Ramsey was Ramsey. Like, he was just like, he wasn't even afraid of him.
Well, you know what I liked about that dude was, I mean, I guess because we're intimately involved in Ramsey's house, we think he's such a badass, but, like, he really just more of a bully. You know what I mean? Like, he's really picked on some people that were the quote unquote weakest.
Right, you know, right. So he cuts off penises.
I mean, he's sick. I'm not denying that.
Okay.
But I don't think that he is he's not like, I don't know. It's not like he's not necessarily the most intimidating figure to just everybody. I think he's really intimidating to, if you're a woman, if you're a child, if you,
weak.
Yeah, if you're weak, but if he needs something from you, I feel like you could look him right in his eyes and be like, "Man, fuck you. Cause basically what he was saying, what I liked about this Umber dude was that his point was like, look, we ain't shit. All of us are betraying the traditions right now. So why are we gonna pretend to have loyalty and stand on tradition when we violate tradition? You killed your daddy. You betrayed the Starks. I'm betraying the Starks. I'm not kissing your motherfucking hand, dog, and I'm not getting on my knees. Like, we evil right now, and I like something about that. You know, just be evil. Anyway. So Umber was like, I ain't pledging loyalty, but I do got a gift. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, so what's up with the gift? You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, dog, I got you a couple people, and everybody was thinking, oh shit, this nigga that got Sansa and, mm-hmm. and Theon again. He done got Sansa and Reek.
He done bought him back.
Like these dummies. But it was a, he said, well, I do hope it's a redhead. And he was like, nope, it's not a redhead, but it is a woman and she's kind of wild. And it was my bae, Osha. No, not Osha, man. I love Osha. And it was Osha. And so that meant, of course, Rickon was the one under the other thing. So it was Osha and Rickon.
That's the youngest boy.
The youngest Stark.
Yeah.
And Ramsay was like, how I know he a Stark, man? You know we ain't got no internet or no pictures of shit.
You gotta show me something else.
So then he brought in, Lord Umber brought in Shaggy Dog's head. Mm-hmm. And Shaggy Dog was Rickon's dire wolf. So, which, I mean, his name was Shaggy Dog. I mean, it's not really long for this world, in my opinion. anyway.
Shaggy like his hell.
Right. Well, he's dead now. Back at Castle Black for the last scene, Jon Snow was in his room brooding, holding his stabby vest.
Still, yeah, he was.
Still with blood on it. And they was like, someone opened the door, said, it's time. So then he put the vest down on the table, still with blood on it. And then he went out and they had ropes around the necks of four gentlemen. And I said, only four? Didn't more niggas stab you and more niggas watched? And what people told me was apparently six people stabbed him. Two of them died in the initial raid when the wildlings came in.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember the dude that charged and then got sliced up by Tormund? Mm-hmm. And the dude that thought it was a good idea to stick an arrow in, 1-1.
Okay.
So I thought he got stabbed seven times. That's only six people. Somebody stabbed him twice?
I don't know. They told me six. Maybe it was seven. I don't know. I wasn't even counting, to be honest with you. After it got to a certain point, I was just like, his night is ended. His watch is ended. For the watch. Anyway, they had four people up there, and this is how you know John not petty is me. I would have had everybody that watched too. Like, if your ass was there looking at me getting stabbed, you going up there hanging too.
He might not have seen him.
No, he seen him. Remember, he remembered everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, them niggas was watching. I wish a nigga would watch me get stabbed and then think he can come back to work on Monday.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Not as long as I'm manager.
Right. You get no PTO.
So, he was like, y'all got any last words? And dude said, man, you shouldn't even be alive. It's not right. And John said, neither was shanking me in the yard, motherfucker.
Right.
I'm supposed to have sympathy. Fuck right. Out of here. The other dude was like, can you write my mom and tell her that I died fighting wildlings? He ain't even dignify that bullshit with a response. And then Alice of Thorn was like, yes, I killed you. I kill you again. It was the right thing to do, nigga. I'm glad to die this way. And my fight has ended, but you're gonna be fighting with these wildlings for the rest of your life. And he was like, okay. And then Ollie just ain't say shit. He was just a true G, full of hate. Shout out to Ollie.
Yeah,
my dog to the end. Mm-hmm. That's how you go out, player.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to see him go.
His face was so pensive. He was like, mother, I would spit on you.
I thought he was.
I was hoping he would. I wrote down, I hope Ollie spit on him. But I guess he didn't feel like it. So then John cut the rope and watched him hang, and you could see on his face he was fighting the urge to like save maybe Ollie or something, but he didn't. And then he handed his coat to Dolores Ed and said, and Dolores Ed was like, what you want me to do with this? And he was like, I don't give a fuck. Wear it, burn it, I quit. Fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, I'm out. My watch is ended.
Right, like I died and came back. So apparently, so I got to restart. As far as I'm concerned, I got the right to leave.
That was the end of the episode.
And I have a question. You think the wolf went with him?
Ghost? I think Ghost gonna go.
Yeah.
I think Melisandre's probably gonna go.
Oh yeah, because the white wolf, he ain't gonna stay there with them. No.
My question now is, do the wildlings go?
They might go. They might go with John. Mm-hmm. That's now, a possibility.
Here's the problem. Poor Sansa. God damn, Sansa. I swear.
She's a day late. She's going to be a day late, a dollar short.
Worst luck in the fucking world, man.
She's going to show up and everybody going to be gone.
She's like, Jon Snow, save me. Sorry. He just left. You just missed him. Where's he going? I don't know.
He just quit. He was like, fuck it. He quit. He died and came back. I mean, I hate to, you know, she's going to have to get the wrap up story, the quick version.
But I did, this did inspire something in me to write. So I wrote a little something for Jon Snow. Hope y'all don't mind if I bust this freestyle real quick.
Okay.
All right. I miss the old Jon Snow. Straight from the cold Jon Snow. Nothing he knows Jon Snow. Hang out with ghost Jon Snow. I hate the new Jon Snow. The bad mood Jon Snow. The always rude Jon Snow. Hanging for dudes Jon Snow. I miss the sweet Jon Snow. Chop up eat Greek Jon Snow. I gotta say, at that time I liked the meat Jon Snow. See, I invented Jon Snow. It wasn't any Jon Snows. And now I look around and there's so many Jon Snows. I used to love Jon Snow. I used to love Jon Snow. I even had a long claw. I thought I was Jon Snow. What if Jon Snow pledged that oath about Jon Snow? Cause I miss the old Jon Snow. Man, that be so Jon Snow. That's all it was, Jon Snow. We still love Jon Snow. And I love you like Samuel love Jon Snow.
Aww.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah,
that was beautiful.
You gotta nominate that for a tippy. I don't know what category, but that was.
Appreciate that, guys. Nope. Let's get to the feedback. First, let me ask you guys, what y'all looking forward to next week? Karen?
Oh, so much. Cersei being petty. Varys' account's done got hacked, so it's going to be interesting when they start asking and talking about all his birdies. That shit might get nipped in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of things. Oh, Pulse. You talking about Sansa? Pulse Sansa.
No.
Pulse Sansa. She going to show up. There, but I ain't no Jon Snow here no more.
Her, Brienne, and Podrick about to show up like, what up? Oh, the party over? Party over?
That's right, because whatchamacallit went back home, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. What are you looking forward to, Ms. Smart?
I'm looking forward to see what's going on in Dorne. If just the common people have revolted against the ladies who are now in charge. I'm looking forward to hopefully finding out what Littlefinger has been doing all this time. I'm looking forward to find out why the dragons didn't check on their mother on Mother's Day. I'm looking forward to Jon Snow. Like, where is he going? Like, are they going to accept his resignation? Like, how does that work? I mean, do he get his benefits? Is he still in insurance for the next month? Like, how does that all work?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Littlefinger for sure. Because they showed him in the preview. And also they show Laura Aaron's punk ass. I want to see him too. I miss that little punk ass nigga. Don't even know how to fight. But I want to see him. And yeah, I guess, you know, if Jon Snow go with the wildlings, man, that would be a huge thing, man. So, all right, let's get into the emails, guys. Of course, feedback is brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Jon Snow may have returned from a close call and a close shave, but you won't. Okay, guys, you will never go back once you start shaving with Bevel. I know I haven't. I still shave with it, man. And it's been been over a year now since we've been working with Bevel. And yeah, it still feels great on my skin. Still mm-hmm. feel less irritation than before. You know, I remember I used to have razor bumps and everything, and I thought that was just a fact of life that I had to live with. And I'm so glad that I don't. And they trying to hook you up with your first month free. Just put in free TBGWT at getbevel.com, and they take the first month right on off of that bad boy. Why wouldn't you do it? Father's Day is coming up. Even if nobody is thinking about you, treat yourself, okay?
Yes, sir.
Be a good gift giver to yourself. That's free TVGWT at getbevel.com, GETBEVEL.com. All right, guys, we got a couple emails. Jeremy writes in, hello, Rod and Karen. Thank you all for all the hard work you do. I just want to say you hit it right on the damn head about Rakan Stark. Yes, I did. I knew it. By the way, I don't like being right about that kind of shit.
No.
As soon as they took his head, I said, Ramsey gonna be raping them and shit. I don't even know what he gonna do to them.
Yeah,
you gonna let the hounds eat them?
It's not gonna be pretty.
What y'all think he gonna do to Rakan?
Everything. I mean, I think he's gonna torture him. I think he's gonna take pieces of him, like his ears off, and, you know, just see how much pain he can take, and, you know, always threaten him with the dogs. He's certainly gonna have to live with the dogs.
All those scenes that he, oh no. Anyway, cause you know he ain't learned shit from that Reek and Sansa ordeal. So, he's in some shit now. As soon as they brought that wolf's head in, I said, oh damn, keep up the great work, Jeremy. Thanks, Jeremy. Alex writes in, episode 3, Oathbreaker. What up, Rod, Karen, and insert guest name here? Bran, okay, yes, you found out on Throwback Thursday that your dad didn't straight up beat the baddest dude in the kingdom, but that stab in the back you're so concerned about is what allowed you to be alive, so this to see this damn vision, so put some respect on Ned's name. Sam Tarly, was it the sea making Sam throw up, or was it having to see Gilly making all these hey I just learned to read witticisms? Yeah, I know that shit was annoying. I would love to just see like 5 minutes of what the fuck she talks about, because it did seem annoying. Did you know the C is not the C? He's like, oh, I got to throw up. Either way, I hope Sam Tarly's family is worth screen time. I love Sam, but Sam and Gilly scenes, not so much. Except for that time she threw it on him. Sam Tarly voice. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. I like Gilly and Sam together. It's entertaining, you know? But it's still, I mean, it's funny in a bad way, because I know it's annoying to Sam. Danny, don't touch me. I will have all your heads for this, cow bottom bitch. Who the fuck you think you talking to, Becky with the bad hair? Yeah, shout out to Daenerys' hair looking a hot mess when she showed up, too. All that walking. Small council. I wonder what the small council of the college years are up to. It don't matter, because I got to hear Lady Olena on the mic again. She was on screen for 1 minute and stuffed it with more shade and petty than I thought was humanly possible. But I'm trying to understand why the hell Daddy Tyrell wasn't even visibly upset at Cersei for having his daughter and son thrown in jail. Is he really that bitch made, or is that a miss on the part of the writers? No, they don't know Cersei was behind it. So that's why. Littlefinger basically, it's funny, Littlefinger is behind Cersei going to jail because he made a deal with Lady Olena, and he's also behind Lady Olena's daughter and or grandbabies, whatever, going to jail too. He's an asshole. Winterfell, okay, I know people were butthurt, but we saw Rakan and Osha were captured at Shaggy Dog's Head, which would make for the scariest Chinese soup ever made. Oh, that's racist. But just a few things here. One, the Umber dude didn't kneel before Ramsay or show him any respect. Rickon and Osha have been with the Umbers all this time, and the North remembers. I think this, yeah, that's right. They told him to go to the Umbers. That's true. I think this may be a plot to get close to Ramsay, kill him, and take back Winterfell. That would be cool. Also, aren't all dire wolves white? That head looked damn near black. I think this is the beginning of the end for Ramsay. Or at least I hope, cause this Ramsay Bolton needs to go. I don't think all dire wolves are white. Wasn't Jon Snow's white because it was the runt or something?
Right. I don't think the rest of them.
I don't remember.
Yeah, the rest of them went pure white. Yeah, I think that could because the white one actually stuck out when they found them.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say that's not.
I think just Ghost was white.
Yeah, I want to say it was just Ghost that was the white one, cause he was the runt. And then the rest of them was black as the cast to set it off.
Oh.
Let's see what else he says. Oh yeah. And he said at least he hopes it's the end because he thinks Ramsay Bolton needs to go. Arya, I'm glad she got her vision back because now she can see that girl's face and she kicks her to sleep. Jon Snow, he checked off the whole list of Resurrection Sunday pettiness things to do. One, be looking for revenge. Shout out to Drake. Two, show love to the homies. Three, be out this bitch. And then there's a picture of Scarface going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Najia writes in, Game of Thrones giveth and Game of Thrones taketh away.
Uh-oh.
Hey, TBGWT fans, fam, this episode was everything. I love the fact that not only did I get to see Jon Snow's ass, but I finally got to see who Varys' little birds are. And seeing as we have dragons and pussy poltergeists, I thought that his little birds were actually talking birds.
That wouldn't be surprising in this world.
And when Arya basically told the girl, that girl who be playing too much, think that she stick from Daredevil, that she can get her name on that list, I was like, yes. The highlight of the episode for me was my homegirl, Lady Olena, still talking shit, even though she knows that Zombie Mountain could kill her any moment. By the way, I don't think Arya said that girl could be on the list. What she said was, because the girl was like, is there anybody else on the list? She said, no. She said, are you sure? And then she said, is there anyone else you would like me to put on the list or something like that? It wasn't like a threat. I think she was basically saying, I'll do whatever y'all want now, because she's compliant with the assassin rules. Long may she reign as the sassiest woman in Westeros, talking about Lady Olena. Now I love how the lie that Ramsay was trying to tell about his father being killed by his enemy lasted all of 4 seconds. Yeah, someone wrote in talking about, how's anybody gonna find out? Nigga, it's Westeros. They always find out.
Always.
Can't be just killing people. People always be like, you full of shit. You killed them. Like he had to know that no one was gonna believe that. I'm happy that Osha and Rickon back, but damn, not like this. Me too. Shaggy Dog deserved better. Now I'm just going to end this by saying, yes, Ollie deserved to die. I hope he burns in hell. Thanks for the awesome reviews. Keep up the great work.
Agreed.
I know. Well, disagree, Karen. Now change your opinion. Nope. Hurry up.
Nope, not on this one.
Them thrown back from EVE. Hi, Rod, Karen, and Miss Smart. I love the way that the show is handling flashbacks as visions. I wonder if, since Ned heard Bran's whisper, if Bran can somehow change the past. I would have liked to see what was happening in that tower.
I think we will eventually.
Right? I mean, they have to, right? I have a guess of what it is, so I'm hoping they make that reveal in the next episode. I was hoping that Arya would stay blind a little longer and get her Matt Murdock superpowers, but I think after her training, she is still going to be so badass, she'll be assassinating people in her sleep. The Lannisters better watch out, because even though she's claiming not to have a name, she hasn't forgotten that list. After all, 2016 seems to be the year of grown-ass men and women are getting bodied by teenagers. Just ask Cat Williams or Azealia Stanks. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that Sunday. I'm going to talk about Daffodil Rush cards. 6 ways till Sunday. Can we all just go ahead and form a prayer circle for Rickon? Fear he may become Ramsey's new reek. Please, sweet baby Jesus, the old guys and the new Lord of Light, please say sweet innocent Rickon, even though he now looks like he owes some rent. This show just this show just won't let any of the Starks be great. It's funny why we all root for the Starks, because they were introduced to us first.
Only reason.
Like, if we really think about it, they had other families they could have introduced us to, but these niggas some losers. So glad White Canard is dead. I was half expecting him to spit in John's face. Me too. After John hung those mofos, John dropped the mic like Obama and was out that bitch. John out. Can't wait for next week, EVE. And last one for my boy Leonard Brothers. What up, Rod, Karen, and Smart? Yo, once again, the best show on TV delivered a beast ass episode and I loved it. Karen voice, here's a few highlights. I'm glad Jon Snow killed those bitch niggas who killed him. That was a nice change to the character. The old Snow wouldn't have done that, right? Hopefully he'll be the same good dude he ought to know. Always been in general, but wiser and less likely to fall for the okie doke. Okay, maybe that. Maybe. Oh, and Rod, how did you feel about your boy Ollie, aka White Canard, shout out to Nick Jew, hanging there like a sack of potatoes? I mean, it was a fitting end. Not everything is about winning, y'all, Game of Thrones watchers. Sometimes I just like to see people that's committed to the shit that they into.
Yeah, he was committed to the end.
He had a good motivation, mm-hmm. and honestly, he brought the best out in John. John needed to get to kid killing if he want to be great. I'm sorry. Y'all can thank him when John in the championship. Y'all remember this?
Yeah. Didn't one of the old man that died was like, you need to let the boy die and let the man live or some shit like that.
Uh-huh. Kill the boy, Jon Snow. That's what right. he told him. Nigga, I cheer louder than every sister watching HBO when Lemonade dropped. Fuck that nigga, son. Anyways, it was great to see Arya level up. I'm sure there's more to her for her to learn, but with the way they're pacing things, I feel like she'll do something big by the end of the season. Yeah, one thing I'm noticing is the show is doing this thing where it's resetting characters that we thought were close to the throne, like Cersei, Jon Snow, Roose Bolton, like all these people that we were like, okay, Stannis. Like, they're getting their shit completely back to zero, just about. And then people are leveling up, you know? Arya's leveling up. Jon Snow coming back alive, he's getting to level up. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting to see people, like, you know, how some people fall down and some people get up. I hate Cersei, but I'm excited that she's getting her swagger back. She's gonna get set. She's gonna set it off soon. She and Zombie Mountain gonna fuck niggas up, and I'm here for it. Also, I'm glad Lady Olenna is back. I love her old shady shit talking ass. She is at the stage where she doesn't give a fuck about anyone's feelings. You know, toddlers and old folks are the king and queens of shades. That shit is potent. The toddlers are too young to understand other people's feelings, and the old people don't care about your feelings because fuck your feelings, nigga. Lady O is on that steez, and I love it. Speaking of shade, I really like how those women shaded Dany. I used to like Dany, but she's gone full white privilege, and I'm sick of her. I like those ladies. I like that those ladies told her to sit down and shut up. Shout out to my boy Varys too. He stays with all the information. Finally, Missandei can have the totality of it.
Not the totality.
Every bit. That woman is bae, boo, and wifey all at once. For real, she is the best. That's all I got for now. I'll holler at you niggas later. Peace.
Peace.
All right, that's the last one. Miss Mark, go ahead and tell them who you would make slaves if you was in the Game of Thrones.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, let me just set the record straight. I never said I would make anybody slaves. I would just redistribute the labor based on a hierarchy mm-hmm. that centers around who has the guns and the bullets, okay? That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Is this like the redistribution of cover that women do at night?
Well,
in the middle of the night?
We just don't want you guys to overheat. Mm-hmm. And we're looking out for you guys because that's what women do. And that's why when we die, if we're married, you guys die shortly after us because we take care of you.
Okay. Sons of the Harpy Terror in the bed. Make sure y'all check out Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. It's one of my mom's favorite podcasts, man. Mm-hmm. She talks about you guys all the time.
She really does.
And make sure you guys follow Miss Smart on Twitter, think_P_smart. And shout out to my man Steve at Mavericks Taco. If he's listening today, now you know what we do. And
right, that was very surprising today. We might talk about that. That was an interesting.
He was like, "Yeah, I found you on Twitter." I was like,
"How you found him?
When? But how? But
right, but how? That's the next question.
That's cool. Whatever. Now he's woke." So yeah, make sure you guys also continue to support the show, the blackouttest.com/premium, man. We're putting out new stuff every day, pre-games and off-season reviews and all this stuff. Should be putting out we should be recording Balls Deep tomorrow, actually, because Justin is graduating on Friday. So
Can y'all believe that?
I know y'all.
I'm trying to be somebody.
And make sure you support Bevel, getbevel.com, code free TBGWT, and get our second album, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Everybody go watch Underground tonight, season finale. It's gonna be great. We'll talk to y'all later. Until then, love you.
Love you too. Mwah.